sonke sibuswa kimi uzongibiza ngosiba ngiyongena ngijola umntana kimi angijayiva njengengaba mawubheka ngumakhaya ntini katonic washo ngesigubhu wavuma wonke umphakathi isigubhu ahlubhu nenyuku sonke sibuswa kimi uzongibiza ngosiba ngiyongena ngijola
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Oh, yes, indeed. All systems are nominal. Hey, everybody, welcome to Out and About. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM, or perhaps you are streaming from kyrs.org. Either way you're listening to me, thanks for tuning us in today. I have a very fun show. I've already had so much fun talking to my guest, Lily Booth, already. But before, Lily, last week I forgot to do this, and I'll introduce you, but I'm going to do this first because I keep forgetting to do this. Here's an announcement, everybody. Thin Air Community Radio's anniversary gala is coming September 25th. Live music, a curated silent auction, a card draw raffle, and dinner on the third floor of the Spokane Central Library. Professional auctioneer Jeff Owens takes the mic for the live auction. Tickets are at kyrs.org, and I am donating one of my paintings to this thing, too. So there will be an auction of stuff like that too. Okay, I want to welcome my guest, Lily Booth, who is known as the mayor of the Perry District. Hello, Lily, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
It's so wonderful to have you here. And you know, we're going to plug specifically, we have the, I've got the wrong stuff. Okay, we specifically have we've got the event that's coming up in, and I pulled my wrong notes. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the events?
I would love to. So we have the South Perry Street Fair coming up on Saturday, September 26th in the South Perry District from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And I'm here to chat about it and invite everyone to join us.
Thank you. And now I've got my real notes in front of me. And you are the president of South Perry Together.
Yes.
Now, is that so? I know I'm familiar with the neighborhood councils. Is it the neighborhood council itself? Are you, or is it sort of like a mini, a mini chamber of commerce for the Perry District, or what is South Perry Together?
Yeah, so it's not one of the official neighborhood councils of Spokane. South Perry is an interesting area because it actually it covers, or it's part of East Central, it's part of Rockwood, and it's part of Lincoln Heights.
Oh yeah.
So when neighborhood boundaries were drawn, the South Perry District was not as prominent as it is now. It wasn't a full business district. So South Perry Together is a business and neighborhood association. It's a nonprofit board that was started in the late 90s by a group of business owners because they didn't have that kind of, legal city representation like an official neighborhood council would.
Now, I would have to think that, you know, I think of all the neighborhoods, I think of Perry and I think of Garland are like two really like business district neighborhoods that also have people living nearby. But they remind me of places in other maybe larger cities that are have their own unique characteristic and their own voice. But I would think that you're the South Perry, South Perry Together really must have done a lot of work to kind of find that character. How do you go about like discovering what the character of a neighborhood is?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do see the comparison with Garland for sure. I think there's probably a couple other business districts as well. And what makes it special is so walkable. The businesses that come in are all local. They last, you know, there's a couple businesses there that have been there for decades and some that are new. So it's a great mix of those locations. As far as how it got that identity, that's a great question. I think that when those businesses got together in the late 90s, they wanted to invest in the district. They saw the potential. They saw the main street needing attention, and they saw really dedicated neighbors looking for community and looking for gathering spaces. So that first round of investment was straight from business owners to do things like plant trees, put in benches, and welcome folks to that business area specifically.
And it's always been sort of a fun, funky place, hasn't it?
Oh, definitely. I think South Perry is artsy and quirky, and I think most, you know, in the past 10 years or so, the neighborhood's really leaned into that identity and added to it. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but we've done a lot of grant spending lately. We got a big grant from the city. We can talk about that. And we've used that for some investments and more public art and more ways to draw people into the business district.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you had like these anchors, like the Buddhist temple was there, right?
Yeah.
And then you had... Lorian's.
Lorian, you know, the greenhouse that's been here, been in the same family for almost 100 years.
Right. And then you have those guys open up the shop.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, I just love how sometimes it's things like that are intentional, but this just seems like it's a bunch of cool people living in the same place that just made, you know, it attracted like the same type of people, it seems like to me.
Yeah, it does feel like everybody in Perry, you start to know each other, you start to go to the same places and see the same people.
Yeah.
And it feels so welcoming, and it feels like the identity of South Perry is to be welcoming and inclusive and create a sense of belonging for neighbors and visitors alike.
I went to a punk on Perry this summer.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a blast.
Yeah.
Just a blast. Now, but you know, a street fair is an entirely different animal. So do you shut down Perry? Does Perry get shut down then?
We do shut down South Perry Street from 9th Ave to 12th Ave. We also take over all the parking lots in that area, and we reserve Grant Park. And Grant Park is a dedicated kid zone.
Oh, yeah.
So free family-friendly activities in the park. And then the entire road is full of vendors and musicians, food trucks, everything you need.
What a fun thing. And you know, it's, you know, you talk about it being walkable. I was curious because I walk there sometimes, but I'm thinking, how far of a walk is that? So it's a mile and a half from my house, which is exactly how far it is from my house to the station. I said, that's kismet, you know, I mean, that's wild. And it doesn't take you long to walk, and it's a beautiful walk. And so I suspect, I mean, there's probably going to be good public transportation for people to get up there and all sorts, and probably parking along the perimeter and all that, huh?
Well, I will say parking's always been a challenge because that neighborhood is so dense with residential, you know, housing. Parking can be a challenge, but there's street parking available. There are two open lots that we don't use. So if you get there early, you can get a spot. Otherwise, I'd really recommend biking or taking the bus or maybe walking from downtown if you're up for the trek.
Yeah.
But since we'll have the street closed down, the bus route will be changed, but there still will be stops close by.
Okay. Do you have, you know, you talk about it is a residential neighborhood. Is that a challenge sometimes to kind of keep neighbors happy at the same time to keep businesses happy?
I don't think it's a challenge. I think it's a blessing. I think that we welcome neighbors and businesses in partnership. And I think our role as South Perry Together is to be community connectors, making that connection between businesses and neighbors and inviting neighbors to join us and participate. We're entirely volunteer run. So we need that neighbor support. And we need, like, I'm one of those people who's a neighbor that lives in the area that just wanted to be involved.
Yeah.
So I think connecting neighbors and businesses is one of our primary goals.
And we're going to talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts of the South Perry Street Fair, which takes place September 26th, and which is just right around the corner. And I tell you, that's the most beautiful time in Spokane is that time of year, I think. But we were just sort of talking about your day job. Why don't you talk about that? Because I think it just dovetails so nicely into doing this.
So I mentioned that we're all volunteers here, but my full-time job is I'm a project manager at Avista, our local utility. And I think the skills that I use in project management are directly necessary and helpful for my board volunteerism.
Yeah. And so when do you start planning for this street fair?
We start planning for the street fair early in the year. So the street fair used to be in July. You're talking about the great weather in September, but this is only the second year that it's been in September. Last year was the first year.
And it's been like 24 years?
This is the 24th year of the street fair. There were a couple years missed in there, but so it was, I think the first was 99, I want to say, or 2000. But
okay.
But this is the 24th year, and it's only the second year that it's been in September because summer's just got too hot to be on the street all day and have vendors out all day.
Yeah.
But last year was gorgeous, nice, crisp day. We're hoping for another great day with no smoke and no rain.
Yeah, well, and I was looking at some of the other events, which just cracked me up. I mean, you have, of course, Pride in Perry, which everybody knows about that. But then there's all, and then the Street Fair, and then, of course, Punk on Perry. But also, I like Very Scary Perry.
Uh-huh. Our Halloween events, Very Scary Perry.
and then Mary Perry.
And then Very Mary Perry, our holiday event. Yeah. I think that people in the neighborhood, you know, it's so funny. It's really, we come up with the name first and then we'll figure out what the event entails.
Yeah, I know. I think in my head, I'm thinking Very Harry Perry. Right. I mean, what else could you do? Yeah.
I don't know.
Sherry, maybe like of a sherry tasting event.
Sherry Perry.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, people just love an excuse to get out and be part of the neighborhood. So any event that we put on is just great.
Yeah. And it is such a fun place. So what kind of are you, so what people show up, what time does it start again?
The street fair starts at 10 a.m.
Okay. So I'm going to be a little bit late. I'm going to show up maybe 11.
Oh my gosh. You're going to get there. Maybe you'll catch the last few minutes of the Spokane Taiko Drummers.
Okay.
Who are going to play from 10:30 to 11. I know you don't want to get there too late because the action really does start immediately.
Okay.
But our drummers the drummers are part of the Buddhist temple in Perry, and they're incredible. This traditional Japanese drumming, it's just gorgeous.
Okay. I'm there. I'm going to be there.
And they kick off the event. So they're going to start at 10:30. And it draws a crowd. I mean, it really does like send shivers down your back. It's so amazing to be
here. And where will that be? Will that be by the temple or will it be?
So across the street from the temple is South Perry Pizza. And that's where our main stage will be.
Yeah,
isn't
a buddy
that
mine owns
lot.
That, John.
John. Oh, shout out John Sayoc.
Yeah,
we love him.
Yeah, Sayoc and I used to fly B-52s together.
Oh,
in the
Air Force. He's great. So he opens the parking lot up and we put a big stage there and our main stage goes all day.
Very cool. Oh, very nice. And if you're hungry, go and get a slice of pizza, right?
That's right. Slice of pizza. There's also a food court that we fill with food trucks right behind the lantern in front of the park.
And of course, there's Perry Brewing. I mean, and there's no shortage of Indicana.
Delicious. Yeah. Amazing happy hour.
So let's say... Do you find yourself gravitating to one place more than the other? Is there a place that you kind of find that like, oh, here I am again?
I do. I try not to play favorites. And I go to all of the restaurants and the shops, but I'm at Perry Street Brewing most often.
Okay.
And it's to the point where they've got my beer order before I sit down. And now they know my burger order too. So I might need to take a break.
What kind of beer do you like to drink?
I like a Pilsner. I like a Kolsch.
Yeah. Oh, Kolsch is the best.
Yeah.
You know, we've got... Where I live, I'm just really close to Benedito's.
Oh, yeah. I love Benedito's.
And they have a great Kolsch there. I mean, it's just so crisp and... Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it. So there's going to be the music. And so that stage... So I saw there was like a couple of stages, right?
That's right. There's our main stage at South Perry Pizza. And those are hour-long performances. So kind of larger bands, more, you know, upbeat, eclectic music. And then over in Grant Park, we've got the gazebo stage. So there's an adorable little gazebo in Grant Park. And we've got a full lineup there, too, of kind of more either... singer-songwriters or duos or a smaller group and lots of tables and chairs at both places. And South Prairie Pizza has also got that beer garden. They'll open up a beer garden.
Oh, nice.
So you can listen to music and have your Kolsch.
Wow, that sounds really nice.
And then we've also got, so with the two stages and then at 11th and Perry is our busker corner, our street performer corner.
Oh, cool.
So we've got, I think, four or five folks lined up to do busking. We've got some jugglers this year, some belly dancers, and we've staggered it so that there's always music somewhere. So you can go to the main stage and then in between two bands, you can go pop over and grab the gazebo stage set or the buskers.
Oh, so that's cool. So you're not going to miss too much if you don't have to make tough decisions.
No, the tough decision is when to get there and when to leave. Cause it should be all day.
Yeah. And then where to eat too, right?
Where to eat is the tough decision.
That would be really hard. I mean, I guess I always find myself at the lantern. That seems to be the place I always kind of wind up
They've got this new sweet potato poutine that's really good.
Oh, that sounds good. My friends own Indicana, so, and I get to Indicana every once in a while, but it's like,
they're great.
You know, it's usually just so packed out to get in there. You know, it's always so busy.
Yeah, and their patio is gorgeous now. They've got.
I didn't know they had a patio.
They do. They opened up their patio in the back. Oh. Beautiful landscaping out there, and then it's right next to Pacific to Palouse, the wine bar.
Also has
a lovely patio overlooking the park.
Those are our newest restaurants. So you got breweries in the Perry neighborhood. You've got the shop, great coffee shop. You've got thrift store, like those of us who like the thrift store stuff, which I do. And then, of course, pizza place. You've got a Buddhist temple. You've got Odysseys there, I think, too.
Yes.
And so there's all sorts of stuff. Is there something that you go, man, if we had this, we would be complete? And I, in my mind, I think I know what it is. But what do you?
I'm sure you do. And I'm, because it's the same thing that everybody, I mean, this is not uncommon what I'm about to say, but we wish we had a grocery store.
Yes.
We wish we had a little fresh market, like a little, you know, Rocket Market or.
Because he used to have a market there. He used to have a grocery store. Was it JB's or something like that? I can't remember. It was there a long time ago. And then it kind of got divided up and the bike. That's right.
The place where Hyco Market is now.
Yes, the gas station.
Yeah. And Hyco's great for, you know, if you want to pop in and grab a snack or a beer. Yeah. But yeah, we need a fresh market.
Okay,
this is my plea to any investors out there. There's a building for sale. There's a very large building that we need to fill.
Oh, really? Where's that at?
It's at 9th and Perry.
Okay.
It's a big, big commercial building that's split up into a few units that has never really been filled with anything. And I think it's gone for a mere $3.2 million. So get your friends together.
Oh, I was saving that for Christmas. I guess I could.
Someone needs to put a grocery store in there.
That would be just fantastic. I mean, that's one where I live. I walk to Rosar's.
Yeah.
And that's my socialization. I go to Rosar's and I clog up the aisles talking to neighbors. But yeah, I think that would be a very cool thing. So you heard it here first, folks. I mean, investors, this could be your big opportunity. I mean, you have tons of foot traffic. You have a solid core of people that would visit that store all the time.
Oh, it's the only thing it's the one consistent thing I hear when we host events. If people come ask me, when are we going to get a grocery store? And it's not really my choice.
Yeah.
Would love for someone to do that. I think you'd be welcomed by the community.
Well, and you've got like kind of little businesses on the outskirts too. So you've got Wisconsin Burger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I think I kind of forget about it being there. I've eaten there a couple times, but it's just not on the main drag. And then of course my favorite, Grain Shed.
Oh, I love the Grain Shed.
Yeah. I mean, the best croissants I've ever had, including ones in France. I mean, they're just
amazing. So talented there. Yeah. And they're a great community partner. They, along with a few other South Perry businesses, are sponsors for Street Fair this year. And Grain Shed will have a booth selling bread and pastries at the Street Fair. So you don't have to go all the way down to the bakery if you don't want to.
That sounds wonderful. Now, you talked a little bit about getting a grant from the city. Was that a tough thing to do? How did that go?
I'll speak to what I can. It was a little before my time when before I started with the Neighborhood Association. The president before me, Michelle Weaver, is incredible. She's been a huge advocate for the neighborhood, and she's still on our board as past president. But she fought really hard for this grant. So the grant is called the American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA. So it's basically leftover COVID money that trickled down into cities across the United States. And Spokane decided to take a portion of that money and split it out specifically for business district improvements.
Oh, nice.
So neighborhoods could apply, I believe. I'm not really sure on the process, but I know that there were four neighborhoods that were awarded the same amount of money. So South Perry, Garland, Hilliard, and North Monroe. So each of us four districts, you know, my counterparts in all those districts, along with our boards, have been overseeing this funding for the past 18 months or so to finish spending it by the end of September.
Yeah, because, you know, it goes away, right?
That's right. It'll go back to the federal government if we don't spend it.
Yeah.
So we don't want that.
Yeah, we got to spend it.
Yeah.
Keep it here. Well, I got to break and do my 20-minute after-the-hour stuff. But when we come back, I really want to hear about more of the what's going to be there at the fair. Why don't we let people know one more time before I break, when the fair is and how they can get there and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so the South Perry Street Fair is Saturday, September 26th. That's the last Saturday in Spokane, from 10 a.m. till 7 p.m., right in the heart of the Perry District.
Okay, fantastic. All right, we'll be back in just a second. And, you know, I've got Perry's Ballad right here, so we're going to play that while I load up my stuff. So here we go.
Take it in your head that the seven devils dead. Go to the supermarket and ask for a Perry salad. For this is Perry Ballad, and I'll make you so glad with a cowboy salad. Go to the supermarket and don't skylark it. I say, Perry Ballad, Perry Salad. Go to the supermarket, I'll make you glad. Have an Aladdin salad. Have an Aladdin salad. Go to Baghdad and have a Aladdin salad. An Aladdin. Have a Perry salad. This is Perry Ballad. Have a Perry salad. For this is Perry Ballad. Have a Perry salad. For this is Perry Ballad. Have a Perry salad. For this is Perry Ballad. Hey, have a Perry salad. Go into the supermarket. Don't skylark it. Ask a Perry salad. Perry turnip. Perry beetroot. Perry beetroot. Perry magic boots. Perry magic youth. Perry Ballad. Perry Ballad. Perry Adeline.
Out and About receives support from Eastern Washington University, the region's polytechnic, offering an increased emphasis on real-world, hands-on learning to build career-ready skills and a lifelong community. More information at ewu.edu.
On September 15th, National Voter Registration Day, the Community Building will have Washington State paper voting registrations in every language. The event will be held from 9 to 5 on September 15th at the Community Building, 35 West Main in downtown Spokane.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for September 7th through the 10th. Monday, Stuffed on the Bluff with Anthony Ray, Tamarack Ridge Band, and the Groovy Smoothies at Beck's Harvest House. Hunger Relief Benefit with the Growlers at Brick West, the Spokane Symphony at Comstock Park, and the Mac Movement Open Mic with Prosper at the Red Room. Tuesday, the Rusty Jackson Band at Bolo's. Open mic with Nate Dunnigan at the Parlor, Chad Moore at the Brown Derby, Jameson Sampson and the All-Star Jam at Zola, and Magic Sword and JoJo at the District. Wednesday, Heat Speak, Snacks at Midnight, Hannah Bounty and others at the Kendall Yards Night Market. Open mic at Badass Backyard Brewing, Spencer List, Hayes Noble, and Dairy Baby at the Big Dipper, and the Downtown Get Down Jam at the Red Room.
Thursday, Sky Dornbuyer at The Social, Just Plain Darren at QQ Sushi, Open Mic with Derek Hart at The Alibi, Ron Green at Arborcrest, Blues Jam at Chan's Red Dragon, and Musical Chairs hosted by Jameson and Adam at Zola. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Okay, we are back. And that was, of course, Lee Scratch Perry with Perry's Ballad. And I forgot that Lee Scratch Perry wants a grocery market, too. Because if you have a grocery market, you can skylark it, according to Lee Scratch Perry. But we had to cut that short because it goes on. That's like a 6 minute and 31 second song, which under the right circumstances is fine. But these are not the right circumstances. So anyways, I'm talking to Lily Booth right now. And we are talking about the Perry Street Fair. Now, we sort of, in the first 20 minutes, we talked a lot about maybe the bands and stuff that are going to be there. And a little bit about the food. But so what kind of street food is going to be there?
We've got a great variety of street food. I'm looking at our list now. We've got mixed plate, we've got African barbecue, we've got desserts like John Doe and cotton candy. Mac Daddy's will have a booth there. I think we've got about 15 different vendors.
Okay.
Between fresh food and packaged food, coffee trucks, ice cream trucks. we're expecting about 8,000 people to be in the
wow.
district in just one day, so we've got to keep everyone fed.
And that's going to be, are they all in one place, or are they going to be in different locales?
They're mostly in one place. They're mostly in our food court, right next to Grant Park.
Okay.
But we've got Kona Ice up by Wishing Tree Books, so
okay.
that the kids aren't too far from.
Oh yeah, what a great place that is! I have ordered books from them before.
Oh yeah, they're a great neighborhood partner.
Now all of this work that needs to get done. I mean, and everybody, people aren't paid. How do you do that?
Well, we've got a set of really dedicated volunteers. We form a committee each year. We start in the spring, so for our September event, we start planning in about March. It takes about 6 months to plan. We meet as a group every other week, and then we meet weekly for 2 months leading up to the event. And we're fortunate that this event has been going on for over two decades, so there are great checklists and a lot of planning tools that we use, but we really depend on the passion of our volunteer committee.
Oh, very cool. And now, how about actually people there on the site and setting stuff up? Do you need volunteers for that?
We do. We really do. So the day of the event, it takes about 65 volunteers to make the event happen and run smoothly, to make sure our amazing vendors are getting food and bathroom breaks, help us put out signage, things like that. We're still looking for quite a few volunteers.
Oh.
So if this is of interest to you, you can sign up at southperry.org. Shifts are 2 hours to 4 hours long, so not a huge time commitment. You get a free t-shirt, you get a couple drink tickets, and you get, I think my friend said, the unmatched serotonin of helping your community.
I like that. And there is something to that. And you know what? You get a couple of drink coupons, so you can keep that serotonin flowing.
That's right.
Right after you do it, you know. And that, so they just go to southperry.org?
Correct.
Okay. Southperry.org, if you want to volunteer, that's the place to go. How about the vendors? Do you have vendors there too?
Yeah. So the vendors are the bulk of what the street fair is all about. It's all local artists, makers, crafters, community members. We've got about 130, I want to say, this year.
Wow.
Which is amazing.
That is.
It's an application process, and we select who we think will be a great fit for the event. So it's a good way to find, you know, your next favorite artist or your next favorite maker.
Yeah, that's cool. And I suppose, like you said, community, so there'd be like community resources for people who are looking, maybe, I suppose, maybe like the city of Spokane or other entities will be out there.
Yep, the city of Spokane will be there. They're actually one of our presenting sponsors this year. So they helped us with a grant specifically for the event.
Yeah.
And we're really happy to have them as a partner, and they'll be there along with a bunch of other resources, like you said.
Well, and of course, we don't know what the weather is going to be like, but come rain or shine, it's going to happen, right?
Let's not use the word rain when we're talking about the street fair. But yes, fingers crossed for a beautiful day, and it's on either way.
You remind me of guys I used to work with, because I would, you know, we worked a 24-hour shift, and I would say before, you know, about, I'd try to go to bed as early as I could, like 8:30, 9 o'clock, start heading that way, because I knew we were going to be up all night, usually. But I would say, you know what? I feel it in my bones. I think we're going to sleep all night. Why do you say that? Why? Why are you jinxing us? And yeah. So, of course, you know, in the morning, if we did sleep all night, I could say, I told you so, which never happened. But usually it's like, I guess I jinxed us.
I know. Once we get to the 10 days before, I'll be obsessively checking the 10-day forecast until we get to the day of the event.
Looking at the clouds moving.
If I can do anything about it.
No, there's nothing. And, you know, it'll still be good no matter what happens. How did you come to the Perry neighborhood? What attracted it you to living there?
I really loved, like I mentioned, the walkability of it. I loved feeling like I was part of a community, even if I hadn't shown up to anything yet, just feeling really welcomed. It feels like its own miniature city where I don't really need to leave, you know, to meet my needs, except for maybe run up the hill to the grocery store. But other than that, so I got involved with South Perry Together because I knew that the organization hosted community events and happy hours, and I was new to the neighborhood, and I decided I wanted to meet my neighbors. So I went to one of the events, and there was music, there were announcements about what was going on. I really connected with the people. I felt like everyone was kind of a similar mindset, and we all just connected around what we like about Perry and how we want to make the neighborhood better.
Yeah. So you did all that before you actually moved there?
No, I moved. That was pretty close to after I moved to the neighborhood. Okay.
You kind of saw a place you wanted to live and you got it. And then you go, oh my gosh, there's like an extra benefit here. Yeah, I had no idea.
I wanted to be part of what made it so cool.
Yeah. That's a really, really cool way to do it. And how has the street fair evolved? Has it evolved over the years or stayed pretty much the same?
I think it's evolved quite a bit. I think in the early days, I mean, I haven't lived in Spokane that long. I've lived in Spokane about 9 years.
Okay.
But I've only lived in the Perry neighborhood for a few of those years. In the early days, I think it was smaller. I don't think they shut the entire street down. I know there was a parade at one point. There was a parade element, and some people ask if we're ever going to bring the parade back. But honestly, it seems like one more thing to add on at this point. I think it was pulled back because if you get too big, it's going to be unmanageable. And we want to still provide a quality event without overextending ourselves. Yeah. So that's one way it's changed. But
you know, I think I kind of remember that parade.
Yeah. What do you remember about it?
Should we bring it back? I think I was in the fire engine. I think we had to go be in the parade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think that's what I remember. We were in the Hilliard parade once and we decided, well, we had enough of this, and so we left in the middle of the parade. and then people, the rest of the parade started following us because we were like in the middle of it, so we had to really speed up and leave the people behind us because they were taking a wrong turn and following
us. You're
going
to lead people right into traffic if you leave the parade.
Yeah, it was not good form. But so this sounds like a really an excellent time. Why don't we let people know again, because somebody might be tuning in right now, when the parade is and how they can participate.
Well, there's no parade, but when the street fair is. The street fair is September 26th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. in the South Perry District.
Okay. Are you going to do Pride and Perry? Not Pride and Perry, but I know you're new Pride and Perry because I have Matt on here all the time. But are you going to do Punk on Perry again? Is that going to happen?
I hope it does happen. I was not part of organizing that event. That was actually a different group in Perry,
that's
great.
A total punk thing.
I
right?
know. The anarchists of Perry, which we love.
That is awesome.
No, that was great. It was such a good event, and it was so nice to see other folks wanting to, you know, plan things and put on events that made sense to them. So kudos to that group.
My nephew's band, Green Warriors, which I shamelessly play on my show as my house band, they played and they killed it. There was so much fun. I think we kind of talked a little bit about this, but Is there something that makes it special? I mean, Perry, all these neighborhoods, like we kind of talked about Garland being a close call. But for you, is there something like an undiscovered gem in Perry?
Well, I think this kind of reminds me of, it calls to mind the history of the Perry neighborhood. And I think what makes Perry unique is its history of being kind of the underdog. And in the mid, 20th century, when the freeway was built, it split the neighborhood in half. South Perry used to be a neighborhood called Liberty, and it extended. That's why we've got Liberty Park, Liberty Greenhouse, Liberty Dentist. It was a neighborhood called Liberty, and it extended past where the freeway is now. So when the freeway came in, it split the neighborhood, and that portion had to kind of come up with its own identity because it lost the other half. So it's always been a quirky underdog, until recent years, it hasn't always been as shiny and fun.
Yeah.
So I think those experiences for long-term residents really shaped the identity.
Yeah, these parks, Liberty Park, if you go to Office Depot, you can see those big like pylons, which were part of like a walkway through that area. You know what else that I found really interesting about the Perry neighborhood was the golf course that used to be there.
This is a great lead-in to something I actually wanted to talk about.
Oh, good. Okay,
so,
cool.
It ties the street fair with our ARPA grant. So one of the projects we used our grant funding for was to create a historical walking tour of South Perry.
Oh, wonderful.
We are going to launch it at Street Fair. So the signs just got installed. So if you want your little sneak peek, you can go in the Perry District, and we've got 10 locations that are historical stops on our walking tour. So there's a ton of interesting history, including Spokane's first golf course, like you mentioned, was in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I think they read that they used tomato soup cans.
That's right.
Or something.
They used tomato cans and they're green. Yeah. So the golf course is one of our stops.
And there's the clubhouse?
The original clubhouse is still there. It's a residential home now.
Yeah, I think I've sought that out before, and I found it.
It's up. Yeah, I mean, there's those interesting stairs, the 14th Street stairs, that lead up to that spot. And that's where the clubhouse is, and that's where the golf course was.
And speaking of stairs, I ran into my friend Pat the other day, and he was out for a walk on Manitou Boulevard, and he's like, "So where are you heading?" He goes, "Oh, I'm heading down to do the Perry Stairs." And I think that is like the workout par excellence. How do you ever go out?
That might be the one Perry experience I'm not interested in. Is climbing a bunch of stairs. I'll meet you at the brewery when you're done.
Well, when I'd go up for a long run, I'd have I would hit the stairs and I'd go up the stairs and then I'd be heading south on Perry. But of course, Perry ends. I mean, Perry dead ends eventually. And so you're kind of in this neighborhood and they have a little trail that you can follow behind these people's houses. And it pops you out at the stoplight at 29th and Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of just stagger down. There's cars, stopped at the stoplight and you just kind of come down these rocks and you're right there, And I always thought, I mean, it's so nice that the neighbors kind of still maintain that trail.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a connection. And you think that was a problem for them building Perry because it's like too steep.
Yeah. Well, it was built. The reason the roads are that way is the trolley line. There was a trolley that ran through Perry and there was a turnaround behind the lantern now. So in Grant Park, that was a trolley turnaround.
No kidding. Okay.
So, on our historical walking tour, there's a big map in Grant Park that shows you all the stops and it shows you where the trolley line was. So that's a reason for one of the weird curves in the road.
That's wonderful. I am a streetcar freak. Because we live in the cable edition, they call it, because there was a cable car that came up Monroe and it didn't last very long. That service lasted maybe like 5 years and they were going to connect to a housing development that never happened. So they lost money. But there's a great book, and I think it's like Spokane Street Railways, something like that. And I was trying to find a copy of it. I actually borrowed it from the library, trying to find a copy of it. It was kind of expensive, like on used bookstores, $30 and stuff. But at the, I haven't been out there yet, but at the Railway Museum, they have a streetcar there, and they've got that book there, and it's like $15 or something. You gotta go get a brand new one for $15, but it has all the maps in it. It has just great pictures of the trolleys, and there's one guy who he called himself a motor man if he ran the trolley, and he kind of like has a biography of himself in there and like his stuff that happened to him while he was running the trolleys. But yeah, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Spokane's got a great history.
I'm so excited about this walking tour.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be really fun. We've got a local historian in the neighborhood. Shout out Beth McGibbon, our local historian, who did a ton of research on this project. Worked with the library, worked with some contacts in the Spokane tribes, a few other folks. Helped develop, you know, the language around this tour. And like I said, she's the one that's going to be giving tours the day of the street fair. So there's going to be tours starting at 1 p.m. if you want to join and walk around and read all the plaques, learn about the history of the neighborhood.
Oh,
the Buddhist temple you mentioned, they're on the list. Fascinating history of two brothers that were interned in World War II and left internment and started the Buddhist temple for other families, you know, coming out of the war.
Yeah, that internment. Have you been in any of the internment camps?
I have not.
Yeah, we went to one in Idaho, and it's so stark. And they took everything that they had, and then they had nothing. They went there, and they built all these great irrigation systems and this huge, immense thing, and actually carved out a decent life for themselves. And then they said, oh, you're done here. Here's your bus ticket home. We'll be selling all this land to the white farmers around here. It was just awful.
Yeah.
But in Medellin Falls, which is one of my favorite places, that place, they actually stood up for the FBI from Spokane came up and arrested a family, prominent family in Medellin Falls, and was going to, you know, move them to an internment camp. But the people of Medellin Falls intervened and said, no, these are people that we love in our town and you will not do that. And so they let them go and they went back to Medellin Falls.
Wow.
But yeah, so anyways, I'm a freak about that kind of stuff. But we're talking
the walking tour.
I'm going to do the walking tour. So my plan is I'm going to show up, you know, I got to be there for the drums. So I got to be there at least 10:30. I'll listen to the drums, probably go over and get a cup of coffee, maybe at the shop. And then eat maybe a little food, hit some more of the music. I got to hit the thrift store.
Mm-hmm.
Got to do that. I mean, that's
the Windfall thrift store. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're
everything
great.
Is so affordable.
Yeah,
they're a great cause. They're, you know, a ministry of a local church, but they do a lot of, you know, community outreach and partnership and other local nonprofits in the neighborhood.
Do you know if Perry Street Brewery is going to be serving? Perry Street Pizza going to be serving the brewery's beer there, or I would imagine they
probably.
I would think so.
I know,
right?
There's three beer gardens too. So Perry Street Brewing is having its own beer garden. The Lantern's going to have a beer garden out back, and then Perry Street Pizza.
Oh my gosh, that sounds
so
like
dangerous.
Way...
So I know you'll get your coffee, you'll go get your beer, you'll hear some music, and then you got to check out the vendors. We've got, like I said, over 120 vendors on the street alone.
Wow.
Local artists and makers. If you have family or you have young kids, bring them to the Kids Zone in Grant Park. It's all
what kind of stuff is there going to be for kids?
It's all free, family friendly activities. So we've got another 15-ish vendors just for families and kids. We'll have a petting zoo and some interactive works, you know, interactive activities. I saw that one of our vendors is going to bring a bunch of cardboard and we're going to be building a giant cardboard house.
Oh my
goodness. So if your kids are creative, you got to come check this vendor out.
Wow,
it's going to be fun.
That sounds fun. And you know, people are going to get their 10,000 steps in that day.
Oh, at least. I mean, I was there, you know, I don't count, but last year, I get there about 5 a.m. to make sure the street's closed. And then I'm there until 10 p.m. when the street is open again.
Wow.
And I think I hit about 25,000 steps. So maybe take that and cut it in half. And
well, so they close the street down that early, huh?
We do, because our first round of volunteers are very dedicated. Volunteers show up at 5:30, which is incredible. I mean, I'm always amazed that anyone will wake up that early to go do something and not get paid for it. But We appreciate them so much.
Do you get volunteers just from the neighborhood or from all over?
From all over. Sometimes we get students from the universities looking to fill some volunteer hours.
Right.
We've had a couple, you know, like if you're a company and you've got a department of a few people that want to do a team building exercise, you could come out and help. We close the street at 5, make sure all cars are gone. We start setting out signage, and then early vendors start to load in about 6 a.m., load in through 9 a.m., and then everyone's off the street so that we can open up at 10. So
you must just be beat by the end of...
By the next day. I mean, it's such an adrenaline rush to be in it and see all the fruits of your labor, and it's so fun just to see everybody participating in and building community. It's so rewarding, and that's why we do it.
Well, and if somebody wanted to volunteer, I think we mentioned this before, but like I said, maybe somebody's just tuned in right now. How would they go about volunteering?
We would love more volunteers to sign up. You can find our volunteer application on southperry.org. There's all types of ways to volunteer. You don't have to show up at 5:30 a.m. You can come later in the day. We look for volunteers to walk around and help give vendors breaks, check on the kids zone, make sure, you know, everything's going smooth, deliver snacks, help us take out the garbage, just keep the street looking nice and enjoyable for everybody. So there's probably something that you could also sit in our info booth, help us, you know, sell t-shirts, things like that.
Oh, cool.
And again, at southperry.org.
Well, have you been surprised sometimes by the things that have happened at this fair, or maybe in the neighborhood in general? Have you had oh my gosh, this is makes me feel really good? Or
I can think of something that was just a couple days ago. So I've been talking about the historical walking tour, but we haven't really launched it yet. We've been doing a lot of behind the scenes, and we've had the signs installed, but we haven't announced it anywhere. This is kind of the first time I've talked about it, but we are going to do an actual launch at Street Fair. So you can go see the signs. We just haven't talked about it. I was at a social gathering a few nights ago in the Perry District, and I overheard someone saying to their friend, "Have you seen these new signs in the neighborhood? I've learned so much. Wow. Did you know there was a library here?" And I was like, oh my gosh, it's working. I mean, people are discovering this information. They're intrigued by it, and they're telling their friends. And it was so cool to just overhear that.
Oh, how cool is that? That's got to be very rewarding.
Very rewarding to see, just to know, you know, all the work that's gone into this project and all the projects we do. But there's a lot of behind the scenes work that just doesn't get noticed.
Well, what do you do to kind of keep your batteries charged yourself personally? I mean, you work in a full-time job, and this sounds like a full-time job too.
It definitely can be. Yeah, it feels like it sometimes when you do these large events and other projects. I set aside a lot of alone time at the end of the day. I do a lot of sewing projects.
Oh, cool.
Anybody that, you know, knows me in my personal life, I'm usually wearing something I made myself. They'll usually ask me, did you make those pants? Did you make that shirt?
Wow.
Say, yeah.
That's cool. So have you been doing that your whole life?
I started sewing when I was probably 8 years old. Wow. And only in the past couple of years have I been able to make things that are passable to wear in public good enough. But that's one thing I do. I really dive into creativity and creative projects.
Well, maybe a fabric store would be a good thing to have.
Oh my gosh,
too.
I would love it.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Since we lost Joanne,
I've
been suffering.
I know. Joanne had everything. I mean, for my painting, I would run up there sometimes and get supplies, because they would have a few painting things. Sometimes they'd have canvas is pretty cheap for sale out there too.
But I know I'm raiding Goodwill's linens for fabric. I go to Art Salvage. I like them a lot.
You know, I haven't been there since they moved. They used to be just like a block from my station.
Mm.
So sometimes I would grab a radio, because I could run back really quick. I'd have my radio, and I'd run up there and kind of see what was in there, and then run back to the station. But
their new location's great.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah, I know. And it sounds like they have a much larger supply of stuff. But they have fabric there too, huh?
They do. I mean, you never know what you're going to get, because it's donations. But I've gotten some great fabric. I bought a sewing machine from them.
Really?
Like a serger. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. A serger. That's
a good find. Yeah.
Upper level stuff. And I think what I always liked about going there was the randomness of the pricing. Like, there'd be like two tubes of paint, and they'd be exactly the same, but one was like $5. This one's $2. You look at it. Maybe they figure that out by now, but it used to just crack me up. Like, yeah. Whoa, okay. You know, that's cool. So let's see. I think I've asked just about what else haven't we talked about? Oh, you know what? Let's talk about, oh, go ahead.
I don't know. You go ahead. Okay. I don't know.
I want to talk about Very Scary Perry.
Okay. Well, I don't know how much there will be to talk about, but because, like I said, we kind of only have the name so far, but we did. So
this would be the first annual Very Scary Perry.
Potentially. There have been events in previous years. And last year we did a trick or treat on Perry Street. And it was just get
that
the businesses.
I
know, right?
Yeah,
it's like I said, we start with a name and work backwards. Yeah. But we'll probably, so we get the businesses to participate, get them to offer candy for trick or treaters or maybe other, I think last year some of them did drink specials, things like that. We'd love to expand it this year. We're currently brainstorming on the best way to do that. So we're thinking maybe a costume contest, maybe something adult oriented after the trick or treating ends. We're not quite sure. So if you have any ideas, let us know. Or if you want to, help us organize it.
I have a lot of ideas, but they're really bad.
Yeah. And then I can tell you about Very Merry Perry. So that is also a super fun event. That's looked different over the years. I think in previous years, it was a vendor market, but weather makes that challenging in December. And there's only so much, space indoors.
But, would you set down the street for sledding?
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, as long as we get that road closed again. But last year, we had a really charming event. We did a tree lighting ceremony for the first time.
Oh, that's cool.
We got a tree. We partnered with Grant Elementary. That's another thing that makes our neighborhood special, just to go on a quick tangent, is we have an elementary school right in the heart of the district.
Yeah.
So we welcome a lot of families and kids into these events. You know, we build in the free activities for families with the kids zone at street fair. So for Very Merry Perry, we partnered with the school and had the kids decorate Christmas ornaments for the tree ornaments, so that families could come for the tree lighting and see all their kids' ornaments displayed at the tree. We also got the kids to do some caroling and singing for us, and it felt really special. We served, hot cocoa to everybody. We had Santa make an appearance. And again, it was just an excuse for everybody to kind of get out of the house and do something in December.
Well, that's such a great park that's connected to Grant as well. I mean, that park is usually where my grandkids run cross country.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, it's nice to have all that green space. I know Grant Park is on the list to get improvements too through the recently passed levy. It's one of the top priorities, which is very exciting.
Have there been a lot of, multifamily dwellings going up there, or is it still, are there some apartments and stuff now?
There are, I've seen some construction recently. Yeah. There are some more, multifamily units going up, which is exciting to welcome folks into the neighborhood and hopefully create some more affordable opportunities instead of single family purchases.
Yeah, because houses are so crazy expensive now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the neighborhood changes as a result. But I don't think it'll be a negative impact. I think those are just new neighbors for us.
Oh, yeah. And you guys are so good at welcoming people. I need to talk to John. I think I'll be hanging out at Perry Street Pizza because I don't, John Syak, he's my neighbor. He lives just kind of across the street from me and a little bit over. And like I said, we work together, but I think I talk to him maybe twice a year.
Well, you just got to come into the pizza place because that's where you find him. Sometimes I'll pop in if I need something from him.
Yeah, he's always, he's still working hard, that guy. But yeah, I think I have just about, Pumpkin Perry, Perry Pride. How did Perry Pride go this year?
It was great. I mean, that event is organized by Odyssey Youth Movement. Okay. So executive director Ian Sullivan has been at that organization for years, and he does a great job putting on Pride and Perry. We, South Perry Together, was a sponsor this year. We are in most years. So we had a presence. We had a booth there. It was wonderful. It was great vibes all day. No protesters, nothing nefarious.
Yeah.
Super good energy.
Yeah. I always have my friend Matt on with me, who's the executive director of Pride. And we always talk about Pride, like downtown, how it's just, they should, eventually they're going to have to start calling it like the Kind Person Festival. You know, it's just a bunch of families and everybody mm-hmm. having a good time and everybody's so kind and mm-hmm. and nice. And yeah, I just think that I know that a couple of years ago they had a problem with some protesters or something, but sounds like it's been pretty low key since then. All right, so we kind of talked about, I'm really, of course, excited about the walking tour, but are there any other little gems that you want to mention before we go here?
What other gems? Well, I'll give a plug, not for just the street fair, but South Perry Together as an organization. We do a lot for the neighborhood. You know, we do district beautification efforts. We host events and we're always looking for support. So even if you're part of the neighborhood or interested in the neighborhood, we host community happy hours every other month that anybody's welcome to come to. We buy everybody's first drink.
Wow, that's a good deal.
We give updates on what's going on in Perry and ways to get involved. And then it's just a social hour to meet your neighbors. And that's how I first, you know, found out about everything that was going on in the neighborhood. As I showed up to one of these happy hours and I ended up, you know, having great conversations, looking around. I remember specifically it was the year the South Perry Street Fair was actually canceled because there wasn't enough, there weren't enough volunteers to make it happen. To do the planning, the behind the scenes, and just the 6 months of work that leads up to it. So the event was canceled. And I saw that and looked around and thought, wow, well, somebody really better step up and help. Yeah. I'm looking around going, one of you better. And then about 5 seconds later, I was like, oh, it's me. I'm the one that should be stepping up and doing it. And it was an interesting realization, but it's been so rewarding and I'm glad I did.
Well, you know what? I don't live in the neighborhood. I walk to the neighborhood, but I'm glad you did too, and thank you for stepping up.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This jazzes me up. It makes me so excited, and I can't wait for the street fair.
I'm so super stoked about it too. So for those of you who may be just tuning in right now, I've been talking to Lily Booth. We're just about wrapping things up here. Lily Booth, who is president of South Perry Together, and they're putting on the event, the South Perry Street Fair, which is September 26th. And if you want to volunteer,
please join us, volunteer. You can sign up at southperry.org. It really does take a community to make these things happen. These events, you know, don't happen on their own or in a vacuum, and we can use the support.
Fantastic. Well, I will see you all there. Thank you, Lily, so much for being my guest today. And you are all listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM. And I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
222 BG Dartford, 88.1 FM and 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio. The following program was pre-recorded.
This summer, help protect your community and public lands by preventing human-caused wildfires. Be aware of fire restrictions, ensure trailer chains are not dragging on the road, and instead of having a traditional campfire, consider propane alternatives. One spark is all it takes. This wildfire prevention message is brought to you by the Northwest Wildfire Prevention Team and KYRS Thin Air Community Radio.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
There were so many toxic chemicals in those buildings, all pulverized and burning at ground zero for months.
This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut.
It was George Bush who personally ordered the reopening of the financial district within a week of the attacks, sending hundreds of thousands of people back to work into that toxic area.
As New York prepares to commemorate the 25th anniversary of 9/11, Mayor Zohran Mamdani has ordered the release of more than 170,000 records, suggesting New Yorkers were misled about the air quality in the aftermath of the attacks. We'll spend the hour on 9/11 health with a former firefighter, an EMT, flight attendant union head Sarah Nelson, journalist Bob Henley, and our own Juan Gonzalez, author of Fallout, The Environmental Consequences of the World Trade Center Collapse. All that and more coming up. Well, Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Saudi Arabia's vow to retaliate after Iran-backed Houthi forces from Yemen struck Saudi cities and energy sites, leaving over 70 people injured, including children. The Houthis claim the attacks were in retaliation for more than 120 strikes launched by Saudi Arabia on Yemen over the last 3 days. The major escalation in fighting came after the U.S. said Saturday it struck three Iranian oil tankers, disabling two of them, sinking a third. Tehran said it attacked three U.S.-affiliated vessels in response. The tit-for-tat strikes come a day after President Trump played down the U.S. war in Iran as, quote, small potatoes, unquote. On Monday, Iran's Supreme National Security Council announced Tehran is planning a maritime exclusion zone outside the Strait of Hormuz, where it intends to stop vessels attempting to transit the waterway without Iranian permission.